Good morning and welcome. Sorry I'm not with you today in person. I'm currently at Redeemer for the one Sunday of the month where I spend some time with them. But I pray that as we enter this Holy Week, that you have a focus of Jesus and the cross. And this week we begin Holy Week like we do every year with Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is one of these events which is a little bit celebratory, knowing that by Friday we'll be solemn, we'll be sorry for our sins. But Palm Sunday is a reminder that that solemnness is not going to end, that there is something to look forward to, and there was a purpose in Jesus' suffering and death. And our focus this week is on praising saving humility. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your word, your life, your son's life, our lives, and your Holy Spirit, we pray that you speak to our spirit and you help us. You help us see the love you have for us and the entire world. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our reading from Romans encourages us to see praising more than just singing. It says this: accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Have you ever thought about that in your life? That your life is about accepting others, just as Christ accepted you, not so people like you, not so people want to thank you and pat you on the back, but that may happen, but more importantly, that they may praise God. And that should then shape how we go about life, how we relate to others, how we accept others. So what about when it comes to praise? Praising is part of our life. Now, some people get a lot of praise, some people don't get much praise, but praise is part of our life. In what circumstances do you praise? Perhaps you praise when there's a victory, like a race that's been won, or your favourite football team's been won, or someone has done something exceptionally. Perhaps you praise a child or nephew or an aunt, a niece, when they've graduated from school or from college or university. You've praised them for their hard work and their tenacity. Or perhaps you've praised somebody or praised something when there's been an opening or something new has happened, or you've finalised something. You know, we tend to praise things for the big spectacular, the really good achievements in life. Yet today, what we see in Mark chapter 11 is a group of people who have gathered together to praise Jesus as he's entered Jerusalem. They've praised him by quoting a psalm, Psalm 118. And it's important to understand that what that psalm is about. Psalm 118 is what's called the Hallel Psalm. It's a psalm of saying, that was used to proclaim that God has saved the people, the Israelites, from Egypt. And remember, the people of Jesus' time are looking for a Messiah. They're looking for God to send somebody to save them. And they're expecting God to send somebody to save them in an earthly way, to help them deal with life, to get rid of the enemies of life, to save them from the tyranny of the Romans, the tyranny of those people who don't like Jews. And they've sent Jesus. And some people have started to recognize that Jesus is that Messiah, which is true. And they've begun praising him. But here's the interesting thing for me. There's some things to think about this when people are praising Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. Now, this is part of the story for Holy Week. He hasn't gone to the cross. He hasn't been at the cross yet. In other words, people are praising Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. They're saying he is the one who will save us. Not that he's already saved us. He is the one that God has sent who's going to save us. They still have the Romans there causing them problems. They still have the secular community causing them problems. But what they're doing is putting their hope and promise in God. And isn't that our call too? Isn't that our call to recognize that God is at work, even though things are not perfect? that Jesus was entering Jerusalem at this time and he hasn't yet gone to the cross. But the crowd is saying, he is the one who will save us. That's what Hosanna means. And so the crowd's praises come out of the promises of salvations, not the actual act of salvation that's already taken place. The crowd's praises of saying, God has made this promise to us and he's going to deliver on that promise. And so we're going to praise God even before he delivers on that promise. And I think this is quite significant for us as Christians. Our call as Christians is to live a life of praising God. Praising God for who he is, what he's done, but also what he will do. And to continue to be part of God's big story. A big story where he's at work. He hasn't finished his story. He hasn't written the final page for us in our lives. That is yet to come. But we can still praise him. And we can continue to praise him. And that's what the crowd is doing. They're praising God because of the promises that Jesus is the one who will save them. The problem is, I don't think they know what is involved for Jesus to be their saviour. And many people throughout history have written this, that these people are praising God on what we call Palm Sunday. And yet, in a few days later, there's going to be a crowd. Now, we don't know if it's the same crowd or a different crowd. But what we do know is they're not praising Jesus. They're not praising Jesus for being in Jerusalem. They're calling for his death. They're going to make him suffer. They're going to then persecute him, put him on a cross. And we know this is all part of God's plan. This is how God is going to save the world, through Jesus' death and then through his resurrection. But put yourself in the lives of people back then. Palm Sunday comes about. Look, we've got hope. We've got a future. Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. And then put your hope on towards Good Friday. Put your focus on towards Good Friday. Be in the lives of people on Good Friday who had all this hope that God was saving them. Because they probably had a perception that Jesus was going to save them in an earthly way. That was going to give them power over those people in their lives that were causing them difficulties. And yet God has chosen to send his son to die. That's critical for his salvation of us. But what happens? People don't always get that. People don't always get that as Christians, you know, we continue to suffer, but God is still at good. God is still at work. God is still doing good things. You know, in Australia, we've got it pretty easy, haven't we? We can still worship together. You know, there are some challenges that we're not the most popular group anymore. But there are Christians around the world in persecuted countries who continue to show up and have faith with God, even though they risk their lives, because they know that God will ultimately deliver on his promise of salvation. And so something for us to think about is, what does it mean to praise God even though we are yet to experience the complete blessings of his salvation? What does it mean to praise God even though we still face difficulties in our lives, troubles and problems? What does it mean to praise God even when we've put faith in God, we've prayed for things, and things haven't worked out in a nice, comfortable way? You know, one of the challenges one of my mentors gave me a number of years ago when I was going through some real tough stuff is that every morning wake up and thank God for at least five things. And at the end of the day, praise God for the good things, the things that you believe he is doing in your life. And this is not just a therapy exercise. This is about growing your faith in God, about allowing your faith to be grown even when there are challenges. And what happened was, instead of me waking up and just worrying about what was going to happen, or coming to the end of the day and being despondent because I couldn't see anything good to happen, because my mind was on what has God been up to, what is some good that's been happening, my perception, my outlook of things changed. And this thing of hope started to grow in me. Hope in God, and hope that life will get better, but more importantly, hope in God, that God would continue to love me. Now, a passage from Romans chapter 15 that we heard earlier gets us to think about why praise God. The truth is, God doesn't need your praise. He doesn't need a slap on the back. He doesn't need encouragement. He is God. He's God Almighty. He will keep going in his plan regardless of whether you praise him or not. He's not a sensitive God that gets upset if you don't thank him and praise him, although he really wants you to do so, and there's particular reasons for that. But did you notice what Romans 15 said? It highlighted we praise God so others will know God and praise God too. Listen to this. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. We are called to praise God, not so we just feel good, not to get something from God, or to help God feel better about himself. He definitely doesn't need that. But our praise, according to Romans chapter 15, is so others will know him and praise him. You see, when we praise God, we begin pointing to God. We begin pointing others to God. We begin pointing others to the goodness that may be happening in their life because of God, even amongst the mess and the difficulties. So can I encourage you, if there's nothing else that you walk away from today, is that you think about praising God so others can know him. And this passage from Romans 15 gives us a bit of an insight to what praising God involves. First of all, praising God is about action. It's not just about words. It's about being like the servant Jesus. Being like the Jesus who was a servant to us, who came into this world for us, for you. It's being like the servant Jesus who has a life of doing things so others can be blessed. And particularly in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, that's about accepting others, especially outsiders, just like Jesus accepts us. Just like Jesus accepts you. Not because you're perfect. Not because you've met certain expectations. But simply accepting people. What might that look like in your life? What might it look like for you to be a person who is a person of faith, who simply accepts others for who they are? Especially if they're different. Remember, this passage is directed towards the Jews in the way they deal with the Gentiles. And praising God is not just about singing praises, but actually about coming alongside people and treating them as if Jesus was there, as if Jesus was treating them. You know, Martin Luther talks about, and I've reminded you a number of times of this, that we are called to be little Christs. And this is one example of that. A little Christ is somebody who reflects Jesus in your life. You know, Jesus did what he did so we would love and praise God. Jesus came into this earth so he wouldn't and paid the price for our sins, so we could live a life of loving and praising God. Have you thought about accepting others, helping others and knowing others and loving others, not so that they necessarily love you, although that most likely will happen, but rather so that they praise God? And sometimes that happens. One person told me this story, is that when they experienced somebody who came and accepted them for who they are, despite their flaws and they had been rejected by others, and they knew they had some issues, but there was somebody in a church who simply accepted them for who they are and invited them for a meal and encouraged them to keep coming to church, to keep being part of the community. They then asked the question, why are you doing this? And one day it clicked. And I said, because this is how Jesus wants me to treat you. Because this is how Jesus would like to treat you. Isn't it a wonderful form of praise? Living your life so others can know Jesus and his love and his grace. Another point that our passage raises in Romans chapter 15 is that praising God is not just about praising God in religious places like this, in churches or where there's Christian gatherings. And it's not just with religious people, but it's about praising God amongst the secular and non-religious places and people. Remember, this passage is written about encouraging Gentiles, people who the Jews would see as non-religious. So what are the non-religious places you go to? Who are the non-religious people you mix with? Can I encourage you to think about how might you praise God there? How might you point people to God there? And I'm not talking about you having to talk heavily about Christianity to people. Although there may be opportunities to share something about why you have hope. There may be opportunities to encourage people to see that there still is a future when they feel despondent. What I am talking about is about encouraging people, not just at church to pray to hear God's praises, but to hear that God is at work elsewhere. One time when I was visiting a hospital, I was very encouraged by another patient. When I was in that hospital, just as a pastor visiting, I went in and went to visit somebody and prayed with them. And then they were in one of those wards where there were four beds, and this person was very appreciative of this. And then as I was about to leave, they said, "Oh, Pastor, I thank God for you. But more importantly, I thank God he's answering my prayers because the pain is starting to go away." And they didn't just say it softly, they said it quite loudly. And this person would share with the doctors and nurses that come there, and they go, "I thank God for you that God is working through you." In other words, they are praising God for the doctors and nurses also in their care, not just for their own healing. So can I encourage you to think about the situations you face, the secular situations you face, the secular people that you're going to mix with, the non-religious people, and think about how there may be an opportunity for you to praise God amongst them in those places so that they can see and hear that God is doing good. You see, one of the challenges, many people think God does only bad. He only punishes those people who are not going to church. He only does terrible things to people who are not part of the Christian community. That's how they think. We know it's not true, but that's how some people think. And so each one of us has an opportunity to share good news, that God is doing some good, is up to something good in our community and for them. The third point that our passage from Romans highlights is that praising God involves speaking of the hope of salvation based on the actions of Jesus. As Christians living in 2024, in a lot of ways we are very fortunate. We know that Good Friday occurred, and we know that Easter Sunday happened, that Jesus rose from the dead. And we know that the church has always said and continues to say, and the Bible says, that in Jesus rising from the dead, he's defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. But we also haven't fully experienced the blessings of salvation. We're not in heaven yet. We're still in a world where there's trouble and problems ourselves. And that idea of salvation, the full blessings of salvation, we'll experience when Jesus returns again. But in the meantime, we can speak of the hope of salvation. And remember, the New Testament talks about this is not just a wishy-washy hope, like I hope I win the lotto, or I hope I can cook a good meal. You know, this is a very firm sort of hope that we know that Jesus has already done what's needed for us to be saved. And so we live with that hope, speaking the hope of salvation. And then that puts life into perspective, because life then becomes not about us, not about what's negative happened to us, not about what good things we've done, but it becomes more about what God is up to and the good things he's doing. You see, praising Jesus is simply about recognizing that it's not up to us, but it's about what God is doing. It's about what God has done and about what God will do. And so can I encourage you to think about your lives? May you leave today with a heart that you're going to praise Jesus. Think about those actions that you can put into place, where you can encourage people to know that they're accepted because God accepts them. And that's not based on what they've done, how successful they are, how much money they have. It's not based on their family name, but simply it's based on that God loves them. Maybe this Easter, invite some of those people to come to church, to hear this story that we're going to hear about this journey of true love, the true love that God has for all of us. Maybe this Easter, also invite them to your home, to invite them for a meal and spend some time with them. Because praising Jesus is about recognizing God is at work, going to do something, because he already has done something but will continue to do something. And so I want to leave you with the last verse that we heard from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope changes our outlook on life, but hope also helps us to praise God. To praise God publicly, to praise God privately, and to praise God with each other. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good that you have done, that you are doing, and that you will do. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us and to help us to be people of praise, praising you with our actions, praising you with our words. Not so you just sound good, but so others get to hear and receive how good you are. And may the goodness that they hear and receive, may it be a blessing to them. And may it plant in them seeds where they wish to connect. Loving Father, we thank you for the life you've given us, but we also thank you for the life that is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.